Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Megillah, perek bet. The last perek discussed the parameters of the mitzvah to read the Megillah, with a major focus on the date on which the mitzvah is performed in different types of cities. This perek moves to the details of how the reading must be done, and the requirements of the text and parchment of the Megillah itself. The later part of the perek moves to other mitzvot of Purim, aside from the reading of the Megillah, and the perek ends with a fascinating statement about the eternal relevance of Megillah Esther. Halacha Aleph. Hakorea ta Megillah l'mafreya lo yatsa. Kara b'shachach pasuk echad v'kara pasuk hashini lo, v'chazar v'kara pasuk sheshachach, v'chazar v'kara pasuk shlishi lo yatsa. Mipnei shekara pasuk echad l'mafreya. Ela keitzad oseh, matchil mipasuk sheni sheshachach, v'korei al haseder. The Megillah may not be read l'mafreya, out of order. Every pasuk, indeed every word, must be read in its proper place. This means that if someone accidentally skips a pasuk and continues reading before realizing his mistake, he must return to read the skipped pasuk and continue from there, rereading what he covered before he went back. Recall that one who hears the Megillah, rather than reading it himself, is yotze based on shomea ka'oneh. Therefore, in order to be yotze, the listener must also hear every word in the proper order and not l'mafreya. Halacha Bet points out that this means that one must arrive on time for Megillah reading. Someone who arrives late may not listen from that point on and later make up what he missed, as this poses a problem of l'mafreya. It often happens that someone listening misses one or more words, especially when there is a lot of noise after the reading of a name of Haman. In this scenario, he may read quietly to himself, even from a printed Megillah, the words that he missed. But because of this requirement to hear the words in order, he must continue reading quietly to himself until he catches up with the Baal Kori. Halacha Bet ends with a din that pausing in the middle of the Megillah does not pose a problem. Even one who reads, or hears, the first part of the Megillah in the morning and the rest in the late afternoon is yotze, as long as nothing was read or heard out of order. Halacha Gimel. Hakorea ta Megillah al peh lo yetza yidei chovato. The Megillah must be read or heard from a written text, meaning a klaf, as we'll see in Halacha Tet, and not recited by heart from memory. Because a printed Megillah isn't valid for the mitzvah, reading from it is the equivalent of al peh. Skip ahead to Halacha Yud for a moment, where the Rambam adds an important point about the status of Kriya al peh. Hayu ba'otiyot metushtashot o mekoraot, im rishuman nikar, afilu hayu ruba, kshera. Vim ein rishuman nikar, im haya ruba shalem, kshera. Vim lav psula. Hishmit ba'hasofer otiyot o psukin, ukra'ana kore al peh, yatsa. If the letters of a Megillah are faded or torn, but still recognizable, then the Megillah is valid. But if the letters can't be made out at all, then the Megillah is only valid if at least most of it is not faded in this manner. This means, of course, that one reading this Megillah effectively reads some portion of it, up to just less than half of it, baal peh, because the words cannot be made out. Indeed, even if some letters or entire psukim were entirely left out of the Megillah by the sofer, one is yotze if he reads those parts baal peh. The Rama qualifies this din somewhat. If an entire inyan of the Megillah is left out, say the story of Haman coming to Achashverosh in the middle of the night in Perek Vav, then the Megillah is invalid, even if this is a minority of the text. And so too if the beginning or end of the Megillah is left out. Even, the Mishnah Berurah adds, the first pasuk alone or the last pasuk alone. For the same reason, one who reads a perfectly valid Megillah must be sure to read these psukim from the text and not baal peh, with his eyes wandering elsewhere. We mentioned earlier that someone who misses words while listening to the Megillah can make them up from a printed text, which is the equivalent of baal peh. This, too, may be done for at most half of the Megillah, but not for an entire inyan, and not at all for the first and last psukim. It is critical that those be heard in their entirety from a klaf. Therefore, one who arrives even slightly late and misses the first few words cannot be yotze with that reading, unless he can make up what he missed from a klaf and catch up to Baal Kori, as we explained. In addition, even though the tzibur reads the last pasuk of the Megillah together, it is vital to remember that the reading doesn't end there. Only after hearing the pasuk read from a klaf by the Baal Kori is one yotze the mitzvah. Going back now to Halacha Gimel, where we left off, the rest of that halacha says that even one who doesn't understand the text of the Megillah at all is Yotze, if he listens to it and hears every word in the proper order. Halacha Dalit goes on to discuss the case of a Megillah written in a foreign language. Haitak tuva targum o b'lashon acheret milashonot hagoyim, lo yasadei chovato b'kriyata, ela hamakir ota lashon bilvad, v'hu shetiek tuva b'chtav ota lashon. Aval im haitak tuva b'chtav ivri, ukra'a ramit l'arami, lo yatsa, shenimitsa ze korei alpe, v'chivan shelo yatsa korei yidei chova, lo yatsa shomea mimenu. If the Megillah is written in Aramaic or some other foreign language, then only one who understands that language can be Yotzei by reading that Megillah or listening to it. The Shulchan Aruch rules that anyone who understands Hebrew and some other language is not Yotzei if he reads or hears a Megillah written in a foreign language, but he quotes the lenient opinion of the Rambam as the Yesh Omrim. However, the Rambam continues in the Salacha, if the Megillah is written in the usual manner, and one reads it in another language by translating as his eyes scan the text, this is considered reading Baal Peh, and therefore both the reader and the listener aren't Yotze. What if the Megillah is written in a foreign language, but the letters used to write out the words are Hebrew letters? For example, if the Megillah is written using Hebrew letters to form English words, so that Melech becomes king, spelled Kuf Yud Nun Gimel. Is one Yotze reading that Megillah if he understands English? The Kesef Mishnah writes that he is, because the written letters don't need to match the language in which the Megillah is written. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes later Achronim who disagree. Halacha Hei, HaKorei Et HaMegillah Belo Kavana, Lo Yatsa, Ketzad, Haya Kotva, Odorsha, Omagiha, Im Kivein Libo, Latzeit Bikriazo, Yatsa, Vim Lo Kivein Libo, Lo Yatsa, Karavuhu Mitnamneim, Hoil Velo Nirdam Bishena, Yatsa. One who reads the Megillah without Kavana to be Yotze the Mitzvah isn't Yotze. For example, if someone writes a Megillah by copying from one already written and reads the text aloud as he goes, then he is Yotze if he had Kavana to be Yotze, but not otherwise. Halacha Vav clarifies that he is only Yotze in this case if he reads, with Kavana, the fully written text from which he is copying, not the new Megillah which he is in the process of writing, as that is not a full Megillah at the time he's reading from it, and so the reading is considered Baal Peh. The Shulchan Aruch adds that when one person reads the Megillah on behalf of another, the listener must have in mind to be Yotze with the reader, and the reader must have in mind to be Motzi the listener, as we saw regarding Shofar. And when one reads for the Tzibur, the assumption is that he has in mind to be Motzi everyone who hears him, also like we saw regarding Shofar. Regarding the need for Kavana to be Yotze at all, recall that we saw this requirement in Hilchot Shofar Perek Bet as well, and we noted a machloket among Nosei Kelim whether the Rambam in general holds mitzvot tzrichot kavana. The Magen Mishnah believes that the Rambam in general does not require kavana to be yotzei mitzvah. The listener is referred to our shir on Hilchot Shofar Perek Bet for the Magen Mishnah's explanation of the Rambam there. And here the Magen Mishnah has a cryptic comment, v'ulai hakol modim b'megillah. It may be that everyone agrees that reading or hearing the Megillah must be done with Kavana to be Yotze. Why should this be? The Radvaz suggests that Kavana is necessary in order for the reading of the Megillah to constitute an act of Pirsumei Nisa. Another possibility raised by the Emek Bracha connects to something we'll see in the next perek. Reading the Megillah on Purim, aside from the mitzvah of reading itself, is also a substitute for Hallel, which we don't say on Purim. Without Kavana, that the Megillah is being read for the purpose of the mitzvah, it may be that the reading cannot be considered sufficient praise of Hashem to stand in place of Hallel. Halacha Hei ends with a statement that one who reads the Megillah while nodding off is Yotze. However, the Shulchan Aruch clarifies that one who nods off while listening to the Megillah is not Yotze. Halacha Zayin. HaKorei Et HaMegillah V'Ta'a B'Kriyata V'Kara Kriya Meshubeshet Yatsa L'Fi She'ein Midak Dikin B'Kriyata Kara'a Omeid O Yoshev Yatsa V'Afilu Batzibur Aval Lo Yikra Batzibur Yoshev L'Chatchila Mipnei Kavod Hatzibur Kira'u Ashnayim Afilu Asara Ke'achad Yatsu HaKorim V'Hashomim Min HaKorim V'Korei Ota Gadol Im HaKaton V'Afilu Batzibur. One who makes mistakes in reading the Megillah is still Yotze, as we are not exacting when it comes to Kriyat HaMegillah. The Rambam doesn't impose any limit on this, and allows even a Kriyat Meshubeshet, a very flawed reading. The Shulchan Aruch rules that whenever the mistake changes the meaning of the text, the problematic reading should be repeated. One is yotze if he reads the Megillah while sitting or standing, whether it is read individually or b'tzibur, but the chachila should not read for a tzibur while sitting down, due to kavod tzibur. Ordinarily, when two or more people recite a text in unison, the listener is not yotze, based on the rule of trei kalei lo mishtame. One cannot properly hear even one of two voices which sound simultaneously. But Megillah is the exception, and the Gemara in Masechet Megillah explains why. Kevan de Chaviva Yahiv Daite Ushama. Since the story of the Megillah is so pleasing and well-liked, even one who hears two voices simultaneously will be able to focus on what he is hearing and make it out properly. Halacha Chet. Ein korin bat zibur b'mgila ktuva bein ktuvim. V'im kara lo yatsa. Ela im kein haita yitera al sha'ar ha'yiriot o chasera. Kedei she'ela heker. Aval yachid koreba, vafilo ina chasera velo yitera, v'yotzeba yidei chovato. The Megillah, even though it is part of Tanakh, must be a self-contained physical entity when it is read b'tzibur. One may not read for a tzibur from a Megillah written together with other texts, for example, a long cloth containing both the Megillah and other of the five Megillot, or other texts of Tuvim, unless the part on which the Megillat Esther is written stands out from the rest, like if the parchment is longer or shorter. The Rambam writes that an individual may use such Megillah, but other Rishonim and the Gra hold that l'chachila, even an individual, may not use it. Halacha Tet. Ein kotvin et ha-Megillah ela bidyo ala gvil o ala klaf kesefer Torah. Vim ketava b'mei avtza v'kalkantos kshera. Ketava b'shar minei tzivonin psula. Utzricha sirtut katorah atzma. Ve'ein ha-or shela tzrich avada lishma. Hayta ktuva al haniyar o al or sheino mu'bad, o shektava goy o min, psula. This halacha lists several ways in which the Megillah resembles a Sefer Torah. First, it must be written with the same black ink, dyo, used to write a Sefer Torah, and must be written on klaf or on gvil. It requires sirtut, etching lines in the parchment so that the writing will remain straight, which we saw as necessary both for a Sefer Torah and for a mezuzah. A Megillah written on paper, or on unprocessed leather, or one written by a non-Jew or by a heretic, is entirely pasul. The Shulchan Aruch adds that every letter of a Megillah must be mukaf gvil, surrounded by empty parchment on all sides, and not contiguous to another letter, like in a Sefer Torah, and that l'chatchila, the letters of a Megillah should have the same tagim, crowns, that are added in a Sefer Torah. But one din in this halacha represents a major distinction between a Sefer Torah and a Megillah. The parchment of a Megillah does not require Ibud Lishma, even though that of a Sefer Torah does, as we saw in Hilchot Tefillin Perek Aleph. The Tur quotes the dissenting opinion of Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban, who require Ibud Lishma in a Megillah as well, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. The Machloket goes back to a Gemara in Masechet Megillah, which points out that Megillat Esther is referred to in the text of the Megillah itself both as a Sefer and as an Igeret, a scroll. So it must resemble both a Sefer Torah, as we see in this Halacha, and an Igeret, as we'll see in Halacha Yud Aleph. Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban understand that the connection to Sefer Torah is very broad and essentially applies to Megillat Esther all the familiar requirements of a Sefer Torah, including Ibud Lishma. The comparison to Igeret is more limited and is manifested in one major difference compared to a Sefer Torah, which we'll see shortly. The Rambam may believe, as the Ran suggests, that the comparison of the Megillah to a Sefer Torah relates only to external features, like sirtut, dyo, and klaf, not to ibud lishma, which is not recognizable at all in the completed Megillah. The psul of a Megillah written by a non-Jew or a min may not derive from the comparison to Sefer Torah, but rather from a general requirement that an object used to perform a mitzvah must be made by a believing Jew. We learned Halacha Yud earlier in the Perek, and so we move now to Halacha Yud Aleph. Hamgila tzricha tfira ad shiu kol orotea megila achat, ve'ina nitperet ela begidin kesefer Torah, v'im tfara shelo begidin psula, ve'ino tzarich litpor et kol ha'yiria kesefer, ela afilu tafar begidin shalosh tfirot bekce ha'yiria, v'shalosh be'emtza'a, v'shalosh be'akatze ha'shenit, kshera mipnei shenikret igeret. The pieces of cloth on which the Megillah is written must be sewn together, and this must be done with gidim, sinews from an animal, just like a Sefer Torah. However, because the Megillah is called an Igeret, the sewing doesn't need to be as thorough as in a Sefer Torah, and the stitches don't need to extend along the entire length of the connected sheets. The Gemara says that the stitches need to be Mishulashot, and the Rambam's explanation of this term is that there must be a set of three stitches at each end of the connected sheets, and a set of three stitches in the middle. Rashi has a different understanding of Mishulashot. There needs to be one stitch at the quarter, halfway, and three-quarter marks along the line where the sheets of parchments connect. The Shulchan Aruch rules that one must stitch the sheets together with enough stitches in the right places to satisfy both the opinions of Rashi and of the Rambam. Halacha Yud Bet. V'tzarich ha-kore likrot asara b'nei Haman v'aseret bin shima achat, kedei lohodia la'am shekulam nitlu v'nergu ke'echad. U'minhag kol Yisrael shakore tamgila kore ufoshet ke'igeret, u'chishigmor chozer v'chorcha kula u'mevarech. When the Baal Kore gets the names of Haman's sons, he should read them all in one breath, together with the word Aseret immediately following, to indicate that all 10 were hanged and died together. The custom is for the Baal Kore to spread out the Megillah as he reads it, like one would do with a scroll, and to roll it up only at the end, before making the bracha of Harav et Rivenu. Many Achronim quote the more common custom, to unroll and spread out the Megillah before beginning to read it. This concludes the dinim of reading the Megillah, and the remainder of the perek, until the last halacha, discusses laws of the other mitzvot of Purim. Halacha Yud Gimel. Shnei hayamim ha'elu, shen arba'asar v'chamishasar, asurin b'sefed v'tanit l'chol adam b'chol makom. Bein livnei krachin, shen osin chamishasar bilvad, bein livnei ayarot, shen osin arba'asar bilvad. Ushnei hayamim, asurin b'sefed v'tanit ba'adar harishon ka'adar hasheni. Anchei kfarim shehikdimu v'karu b'sheni o v'chamishi asamuch lefurim mutarin b'sefed v'tanit b'yom kriyatan v'asurin b'shnei hayimim ha'elu af al pi she'ein korin behem. The 14th and 15th of Adar are days on which it is forbidden to eulogize and to fast, hesped v'tanit. This is true for everyone, whether they read the Megillah on the 14th or on the 15th, and holds even for the B'nai Kfarim, who read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday preceding Purim, as we saw in the last perek. The B'nai Kfarim are permitted in Hesped V'Tanit on the day they read the Megillah, if it's early, but not on the 14th and 15th. Even in Eshanah Me'uberet, the 14th and 15th of the first Adar are called Purim Katan and are forbidden in Hesped V'Tanit, just like the corresponding dates in Adar Sheni. Halacha Yud Dalet. Mitzvat Yom Arba'asar Livnei Kfarim V'Ayarot V'Yom Chamishasar Livnei Krachin V'Yot Yom Simcha U'Mishte U'Mishloach Manot L'Re'im U'Matanot L'Evyonim U'Mutar Basiyat Melacha V'Af Apichein Ein Ra'uy La'asot Bo Melacha Amru Chachamim Kol Ha'oseh Melacha B'Yom Purim Eino Ro'es Siman Bracha B'nei Kfarim Shekadmu V'Karu Bashni V'Chamishi Im Chilku Ma'ot L'Evyonim B'Yom Kriyatan Yatzu Aval Ha'mishte V'Simcha Ein osinota ela ba'arba asar. Vim hikdimu lo yatsu. Usudat purim shasaya balayla lo yatsa edei chovato. It is a mitzvah that the 14th of Adar for B'nai Ayarot and B'nai Kfarim, even those of the last group who read the Megillah earlier, and the 15th of Adar for the B'nai Krachin, be a day of happiness and merriment, simcha umishte, referring to a mitzvah of Su'uda, including sending food to friends, mishloach manot l're'im, and giving gifts to the poor, matanot le'evyonim. We note that all of these phrases come directly from the Megillah, and we will see in the coming halachot how the parameters of each mitzvah can be derived from the wording of the corresponding phrase. The Rambam makes one modification to the psukim, which is easy to miss, but I believe is very important. The Megillah refers to Purim as Yemei Mishte V'Simcha, which the Rambam changes here to Yom Simcha U'Mishte. We'll come back to the significance of this reversed order when we get to Halacha Yud Zayin. The one situation in which one of these mitzvot may be performed early is in the case of the B'nai Kfarim who read the Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa. They are Yotzei if they give Matanot Le'evyonim on the day they read the Megillah. The Gemara says that Einehem Shel Aniyim Nisuot L'Mikra Megillah. The poor see the reading of the Megillah as an occasion to collect tzedakah. And so at least b'di'eved, one is yotzei by giving matanot levyonim on that day. It is based on this rationale that Poskim rule, as we mentioned at the end of the last perek, that when Shushan Purim falls on Shabbat and the mitzvot of Purim are moved to Friday and Sunday, we give Matanot Levyonim on the same day as reading the Megillah, that is, Friday. The Rambam writes that it is permitted to do malacha on Purim, but this is discouraged, and Chazal say that one who does malacha on Purim will not ultimately see any benefit from it. Malacha here refers not to all activities which are forbidden on Shabbat, but is meant in the literal sense of working to make a living. The Rama writes that the custom nowadays is to avoid doing malacha on Purim, except for any malacha which is necessary for a mitzvah or for celebrating the holiday in a proper manner. The halacha ends with the point that the Seuda of Purim must be held during the day, not at night, and one isn't yotze with a Seuda he eats at night. Halacha tetvav. Ketzad chovat Seuda zo, shiochal basar, vitaken Seuda na'a kefi asher timtza yado, veshote yayin ad shiishtaker viradem b'shichrut. The mitzvah of Seudat Purim is to eat meat and prepare as attractive a feast as is within his means. He should drink wine until he becomes drunk and falls asleep. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah says that one must become intoxicated on Purim until he doesn't know the difference between Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai, which seems to permit drinking to excess. In light of the Rambam's distaste for drunkenness, as we've seen explicitly in Hilchot Deot, and which is implicit in other places in the Mishnah Torah as well, it isn't surprising that he interprets this statement to mean that one should drink enough to fall asleep, at which point, unconscious, he doesn't know how to distinguish between Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the original line from the Gemara without elaboration, but the Rama approvingly quotes the Rambam's interpretation, with the added point that Echad Hamarbeh ve'Echad Hamamit uvilvad shichaven libo l'shamayim. Continuing in Halacha Tetvav, the Kein Chayav Adam Nishloach Shtei Manot Shel Basar, O Shnei Minei Tavshil, O Shnei Minei Ochalin L'Chavero, Shnemar U'Mishloach Manot Ish L'Re'ehu, Shtei Manot Li'Ish Echad, V'Chol HaMarbel Lishloach L'Re'im Mishubach, V'im Ein Lo Machlifim Chavero, Ze Shalech L'Ze Sudato, V'Ze Shalech L'Ze Sudato, K'dei L'Kayem U'Mishloach Manot. The mitzvah of Mishloach Manot is to send two portions of meat, or cooked food, or any other type of food to one's friend or neighbor. Two portions to one person, because Manot is in the plural, and Ish L'Re'ehu is in the singular. The Rama adds that Mishloach Manot too must be done during the day, not at night. This seems to indicate that the purpose of Mishloach Manot, aside from serving as a display of friendship and goodwill, is to enhance the Seudat Purim of the recipient, which must take place during the day. Reinforcing this understanding is the opinion of most poskim, quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, that the food given as Mishloach Manot must be ready to eat as given, excluding raw meat or anything else which requires additional preparation. Even though the minimal requirement of Mishloach Manot is two items of food to one person, the Rambam adds that it is praiseworthy to give as much as one can, by which he seems to mean to give to as many friends as one can. If one has no extra food to give away, he can fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot by exchanging meals with his friend. The Gemara recounts that Abaye and Rav Chananya used to do exactly this. Halacha Tet Zayin. The Chayav L'Chalek L'Aniyim B'Yom HaPurim Ein Pachot Mishnei Aniyim Noten L'Kol Echad Matana Achat O Ma'ot O Minei Tavshil O Minei Ochalin Shnamar u'matanot le'evyonim, shtei matanot li'shnei aniyim. Ve'ein medaktikin b'ma'ot purim, ela kol ha'poshet yado li'tol, notim lo. Ve'ein mishanin ma'ot purim li'tzdaka acheret. The fourth and final mitzvah of Purim is matanot le'evyonim, gifts to the poor. One must give to at least two people, based on the plural form of evyonim, one gift of money or food to each evyon. The Rambam doesn't say how much money, but Poskim say that it should be enough for the Evyon to buy food for at least a minimal Seuda. We aren't exacting about Matanot Levyonim by checking that every potential recipient indeed qualifies as an Evyon. Rather, we give to everyone who extends his hand in need. Money which is collected as Matanot Levyonim may not be reallocated to some other cause. Halacha Yud Zayin. Mutav la'adam laharbot v'matot evyonim milaharbot v'sudato v'shiluach l'reyav she'ein sham simcha gdola u'mefohara ela l'sameach lev aniyim v'tomim v'almanot v'geirim shamesameach lev umlalim elu midame bashchina shne'amar l'achayot ruach shvalim u'l'achayot lev nidkaim. it is better for one to spend more on Matanot Levyonim than on his Seuda or on Mishloach Manot. The reason for this is that there is no greater simcha than that of raising the spirits of the downtrodden, the poor, the orphans, the widows, and the converts. One who gladdens them is compared to the Shechina, about whom Yeshayahu says that he revives the spirits of the lowly and the hearts of the oppressed. In this context, recall two things. One, we learned in Hilchot Yom Tov Perek Vav that the true simcha of Yom Tov is not eating to excess, but giving of his own to the poor. Here, the Rambam extends this to Purim as well. This is not a unique feature of simcha on Yom Tov specifically, but part of the halachic definition of simcha. The greatest satisfaction one can achieve, the most intense feeling of simcha in any context, is from sharing what he has with others. And two, we saw in Halacha Yudalid that the Rambam switches the order of the words in the Pasuk. Purim is a day of Simcha u'mishta, with the Simcha first. More important than spending money on his Mishta, his Seuda, and personal indulgence, as appropriate and praiseworthy as that is on Purim, is spending whatever he can on Matanot Levyonim in order to experience Simcha at the highest possible level. Halacha Yudchet. V'chol sifri ha-neviyim, v'chol ha-ktuvin, atidin libatel limot ha-mashiach, chutz mimigilat Esther, hari hi kayemet kachamisha chumshei Torah, v'chalachot shel Torah shebal peh, sheinan b'teilin la'olam. V'af al pi shekol zichron ha-tzarot yivtal, shnemar, ki nishkechu ha-tzarot ha-rishonot v'chulei, yimei ha-purim lo yivtalu, shnemar, v'imei ha-purim ha-ela lo yavru mitoch ha-yudim, v'zichram lo yasuf mizaram. All the books of Nevi'im and Ketuvim will lose their significance at the time of Mashiach, except for Megillat Esther, whose importance will last forever, like that of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and of Torah Shebal Peh. The blessings of Yemot HaMashiach will eventually drown out memories of all the troubles of the past, but the holiday of Purim and the story behind it will remain forever. This is the meaning of the Pasuk in the Megillah, that the days of Purim and the memory of the story behind it will never cease to be part of the legacy of the Jewish people. The source of this halacha is in the Yerushalmi, and the Ravid here takes issue with the opening statement that all other works of Nevi'im and Ketuvim will eventually objectively lose their importance. What the Yerushalmi means, claims the Ravid, is that even if Jews at some point stop learning the other Sfarim of Nach, Chas V'Shalom, the Megillah will remain an important part of Jewish life, and it will continue to be read b'tzibur. There are many different explanations of exactly why the Rambam believes that Megillat Esther and Purim have more durable and universal value than other books of Nach and other episodes in Jewish history. As the Rambam doesn't elaborate, there is no way to know what exactly he means. I'll end with a suggestion that Megillat Esther represents more than any other Sefer in Nach how Hashem relates to the Jewish people and acts behind the scenes to protect them from imminent danger on a constant basis. Purim exemplifies how we are to recognize and respond to His salvation. By recognizing and recounting the miracle, celebrating with a festive meal, displaying friendship and camaraderie with our fellow Jews, and most importantly, by translating our gratitude into the deep simcha of helping those in need and thereby imitating in our own way the benevolence of Hashem.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.